All right. Well, thank you for letting me be here today. We've been praying about this and appreciate the great warm welcome you've given us so far. We're grateful for that. We would encourage you to stop at our table, and that may be some material there you could use. And we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, the only hope for a dying world, and the only help for mankind. And if you're here this morning, we may be touching some touchy subjects. Our intent is not to dig up old wounds, not in our intent, but our intent is to stir our hearts about the sinfulness of man, but above all, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that there is hope in the power of the gospel. And we're here to share the gospel. Make sure you stop at our table. There's a number of items there that might be of interest to you. We'll leave some. Pick up a prayer card to add to your refrigerator or wherever you put them. We have some bookmarks, a pro-life Bible verse on it, our logo on the back, and they're just for your picking up. Our pro-life proclaimer, a newsletter I put on every quarter, they're available on the table. The baby feet. You think about this, this is the size of your feet when you were 10 weeks old in your mommy's tummy. A lady was wearing one of these and she went into the public library. And a little girl come up to her and said to her, "What is this?" And the lady told her that that was the size of baby's feet 10 weeks after conception, after fertilization. The little girl, 15, 16, 17 years old, broke down and she started to cry. She said, "I can't kill my baby. I can't do that." You see, she was pregnant, contemplating an abortion. But she saw the size of her baby's feet in a public library, and she changed her mind and chose life rather than death for her baby. These are available in different colors also for a suggested $2 donation, and I'd encourage you to wear them. And somebody at Quick Trip asked about them. My wife has been into a store and they've asked about them, and so it's an opportunity to share the gospel. I was thinking when I was in a Quick Trip, it was a clerk that asked me, "What was these?" And I told her what they were. And I said, "If I give them to you, will you wear them?" "Yes." Well, of course, there's a lot of customers, and you're not going to hinder that in Quick Trip. But I did go out to the car and got her a gospel tract and gave it to her. So it's always an opportunity to share the gospel. And that's the greatest need. Fighting for dear life. How many of you remember Terry Schiavo? This coming March, it'll be 6 years since we as a nation was frustrated, confused, some of us upset. But the courts allowed in the state of Florida a young lady of about 40 years of age to literally be starved to death at the desire, I'm going to suggest, of her husband. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever had a root beer through a straw? Ever had a root beer through a straw? Did you know you were being fed through a feeding tube? Now, obviously, Terry Schiavo needed surgery. I understand that. But the issue was they were feeding her fluids through a tube. Dr. David gives the third, or the second, I think. The third was the defense attorney for Carrie Schiavo's parents. And he wrote the book, Fighting for Dear Life, and it's also this video is about 30 minutes long, suggested $5 donation. We have the book, and I think that's $8. And so it might be something that would interest you. Every time I read it, I get upset, whatever, and that's not good, but that's the way it is. By being upset, I mean I get disturbed. I don't go on a fighting rampage and kick out windows and things of that nature, but you get disturbed within you. And so we need to, sometimes that's good for us. So trust that you will avail yourself to the material that's there on that table. I said a moment ago, I've got to go through two roads this morning, and I don't like either one of them. But they're necessary to be taken. I want you to turn in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look just at verses 1 through 8. Let's stand out of respect for the Word of God. Let's stand for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Follow with me as I read. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, and having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. May God add his blessing to his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name and through the mighty blood of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we deal with some sensitive issues this morning, we pray, Father, that we look to Calvary, we look to the cross, and to be one here that has never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, may this be the day of their redemption. Father, we ask you to take this preacher hiding behind the cross, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I said I had two roads to take, and one road is this. Statistics tell us that 20% out of all girls who have an abortion, or women, claim to be born again or a member of an evangelical church. I hear those figures and I ask myself the question, I wonder how many are among us. And I don't want to know. That is not my purpose. My heart goes out to you. You're hurting inside, but you know there's glorious forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and the greatest sin of the world can be shed and can be covered rather in his blood, that you might have redemption. And there's not one of us this morning, not one of us, that we don't have regrets of the past. Yes, you have scars, but we have a wonderful Savior who bore our griefs and our sorrows to a cross, that we can have life and have it abundantly. And by His stripes we are healed. The second road we're going to look at in just a minute . Where did I put my flipper? I thought I put it up here, but I didn't. Well, that's the first mistake I've made today. No.
I can push the button for you if you want.
Is it under here? Oh, I found it. And it was right where I put it. Anybody else have that experience beside me? Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to look at some figures in just a moment. And those figures, I hope, get you upset. I hope they get you angry. I hope they move you to action. But as we look at those figures, your mind's going to go to the abortionist. Your mind's going to go to the girl that killed her baby. Your mind's going to go to all of these unplanned pregnancies and what have you. But I want to suggest that instead of looking at them, let's look at ourselves. I can't do anything about them, but I can do something about me, and you can do something about you. Yes, I would love to see the abortionists put out of business and the abortion mills shut down. I would love that, and I can look at them and say, we ought to do something about that. But before we can pray, God, change the abortionist. God, change the attitude of our country that destroys the value of life. God, change the heart of that pregnant girl. Change the heart of the politicians. Change the heart of the socialists and the educators. Before we can say that, we need to say, Lord, change me to be a better propagator of the gospel. And that's the only one I can do much about. Yes, I can get votes and all. I know that. But we need to look at every one of those atrocities that you're going to see figures of this morning. Are a personal attack on Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to die for you and created you in your mother's womb. All things were created by Him. And I want you to notice something, and I trust that looks at your heart this morning. Notice in verse number 6 of chapter 1 in Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians a little bit, and then we're going to look at pictures. All right? Look at verse number 6 of chapter 1. Being confident of this very thing, which He hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If He began a good work in you through the glorious redemption, He can carry that out and wants to carry it out through you and through me for the glory of God. I want to skip down to verse number 12 of chapter 1. But I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out under the furtherance of the gospel. Where was Paul? He was in prison. And he said, I'm here in prison for the purpose of propagating the gospel. God has placed you and me where we are for the purpose of propagating the gospel. Turn over to verse 27 of chapter 1. And let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. that ye stand fast in one spirit with the mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So now let's go down to verse number 1 of chapter 2. Or verse number 3, rather, of chapter 2. First of all, I would suggest that we have an attitude of being a servant to other people better than we are. Notice in verse number 2, or number 3, excuse me. Our Lord Jesus, Paul writes about the Lord Jesus, and he said, let nothing be done through vain strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem another better than himself. I need to look at that abortion as better than me. I need to look at those people that of the pro-death crowd, I need to look at them as better than me, because I need to be their servant to share with them the gospel. Those people are a gift of God to you and to me to provide the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That love is not tolerating. That love is not emotion. It's not abusive long blur. It is not a compromise, but it's sharing with people with compassion the love of the gospel. Not only do I need to have the attitude that other people are better than myself. And if you knew me like I knew me, that's pretty tough. But that's what I need. And then I want you to go to verse number 4. We need to have the attentiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The Lord Jesus Christ saw people in need wherever he went. He was moved with compassion upon them. He saw people in need, and he said, how do I minister to them? And he ministered to them. He was filled with compassion. He saw the needs of other people in their heart, and he was moved to them. Compassion means that you're so moved with the need of an individual that your intestines move within you. You get sick to your stomach. That's compassion. It moves you inwardly to go out and to do something. Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 9, wherever he went, he saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion upon them. And then, I want to go down to verse number 5 for the sake of time, if we could. Look at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We need to have the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned in Sunday school from Genesis 1, we're made in the image of God. Every one of you have value because of who created you in the image of God. Your bank account does not determine your value. Your house does not determine your value. Your value is determined by who created you, and you were created by Almighty God in His image. And when we destroy life, we are destroying what God has made. And yet, we need to look out. We need the attitude of a servant's heart. We need the attentiveness to see what is wrong. And then we need to have the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ to go out and to do something with it. Reaching out to that abortionist, to that unwed girl reaching out to them, identifying with people in need and putting yourself there. We need the humbleness of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at these pictures, put yourself in that predicament. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter. I want you to see it. Jeremiah chapter 7. I wasn't going to do that, but I'm going to. Jeremiah chapter 7. I want you to see what was going on in Israel. And what was going on in Israel is similar to what's going on in our country. In your neighborhood. Jeremiah chapter 7. And go down to verse number 6. If ye oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods in your heart. Verse number 9. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? Skip over to verse 31. And they have built high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it unto my heart. Let me share with you what they did. In the valley of Hinnom, was just south of Jerusalem, and this went on until the reign of King Josiah, when he cleaned out all of the Baal worship. But they had built a steel metal image unto Baal. It was from the bust upward, and the arms went out like this. On the high part of that mount, they put Baal, and they built a fire up with inside of him. The metal was hot. The arms were hot. And the mothers took their sons and their daughters and laid them on the arms of Tophet in the valley of Hinnom. The babies, the children would burn. They'd finally burn and their limbs would fall apart and they'd fall into the pit below. To drown out the sound of the cries of those babies, the children of Israel in the valley of Hinnom had a rock concert. They didn't call it that, but they played the drums and the flute. And the mothers stood to the side, their arms over their shoulders, solemn face looking unto Baal in dedication to their false Antichrist God. You would say, we don't do that in America. No. We don't do it in America like that, but I'll tell you what. We have killed 53 million babies in the abortion mills in our country since Roe versus Wade in 1973. That's more than the 17 states that are colored in red. And that goes on day after day after day. All because of the voting of 7 men on the United States Supreme Court. I want to go back just here, throw something else out for you. In 1857, 7 men on the United States Supreme Court said that a black person was not a person. They could be bought, they could be sold, or they could be killed. at the desire of the owner. That led to the Civil War. You know that. It led to 1965 before the Civil Rights Bill was passed and that black people could finally vote. In 1973, seven men of the unelected men of the United States Supreme Court said that a mother could kill her baby at her choice, whatever she wanted to do, and that's what we're doing. We may not play the drums, we may not have the image, but we're still killing babies. $1.3 to $1.6 million preborn babies are killed behind the sterile closed doors at the abortion mills of our country every year. That's more than the total number of Americans killed in eight major wars in our country. Pro-Life Sunday is coming 2 weeks from today. A good time to pray for our country or inviting people in to hear a good message of the gospel. How many of you remember 9/11? Remember how upset we got? I was at a meeting in Pleasant Prairie and very frustrating. 20 alleged terrorists took 3,000 souls with them into eternity. And we got upset as a nation. We got frustrated. We need to do something about it. On that very same day, 4,000 babies were killed at the hand of the terrorists and the abortion bills in our country. And I'll tell you something, you never heard it on the news. You never read it in the paper. And that went on day after day after day. Now we're down to about 3,300, which is still too many, but we have another problem. People need Jesus Christ. People need the gospel, and we're there to propagate that. And this continues on day after day. Now about 3,300 every day, 7 days a week, are killed at the hand of the terrorists and the abortion mills in our country. Week after week, about 23,000. Month after month, 107,000. Does anybody care? Are these just figures? Are these just statistics? Our purpose at Baptist for Life of Wisconsin is to reach people with the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Disciple them in the Word of God and direct them to into independent fundamental Baptist churches like this one. That's our goal. Promote the biblical value of life at all stages. We're 100% pro-life. Allow the abortion or any of those embryonic stem cell research, not allowing that, nothing. There's no allowance for the taking of life. We have what we call a LIFT program, Loving Individuals in Final Transition, ministering to those that are terminally ill. Jesus said in Matthew 25, I was sick and you visited me. And they said, well, when did we do that? And Jesus said, when you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And so it's a program for those that in our local churches or community, the local church can go out and loving individuals in those days the doctor said you've got so much time to live and whatever. If you're interested in that, you see your pastor and be willing to help you out. Should have done that. I didn't do that. Okay. And that's what the LIFT is. There's some brochures on our literature table if you're interested.
Oops. Yep, I did it right. Okay.
We have a high school essay contest that is available for young people. And 2011, the theme was abortion alternative, what can churches do? And a homeschooling girl won the $400 for 2011. We'll have our theme out for 2012. We should have that another month or so because we're trying to catch the teenagers at the state youth rally February 23rd. But if you look at our website, you could find that out and find out what the theme is and the guidelines for it, and young people get involved. And we're there to speak at churches, and we have pro-life literature available. From 2010, there were 3,008 clients in our centers, 65 professions of faith, 307 on the Learn and Earn program, including six men, 14 chains of mind about abortion, whoops, and 14 now are attending a Baptist church in their area. And we'd like more, yes, but we're just going to keep doing what we believe God would have us to do and what is right. Okay, there's the counselor at the Alpha Women's Center in Milwaukee, Rebecca and Rashad, and she's looking for a good Baptist church in the center of Milwaukee. So you might make that a good prayer. There's a lot of them available, but there's nothing in the core city, part of that city. And this is Yasmin, minister to the Access Center in Madison, and mother became part of the Learn and Earn program and was attending a Baptist church in the Madison area. And this is Abigail with Sue Deaton, the director of the Assurance Women's Center in Appleton. You might pray for that. That center needs a new director. Sue Deaton did a great job, but just wants to step aside. But her mom's, Abigail's mom, learned the Word of God and grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. This couple, this lady rather, was in Milwaukee, come to know the Lord, was being discipled, and wanted to get out of Milwaukee. So she moved up to Manitowoc, and there she was attending the attending Berean Baptist Church, and that's her, with Pastor Lobb and her baby. Areas for new centers, Eau Claire, obviously. We're doing some things in Eau Claire. We laid some groundwork and see what'll happen in that area. Wausau is certainly an area. Beloit, Wisconsin, we made some contacts in northern Illinois, and we'll see what we can do there. As God provides, Racine and Rockford, Illinois area, western Milwaukee area. Iron Mountain, Michigan, that we've also done some groundwork with. Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point. So there's many, many areas several things need to happen. Churches in that area or individuals in the area need to become involved, and we don't operate those centers. They operate their own, do their own thing. We just help them get started, and obviously they need funds too. You believe in what we're doing. Become involved. Churches could place us in their home missions budget. You could become a member. In your bulletin, there's one of our brochures, and you could become a member of Baptist for Life of Wisconsin, filling out the form in the back, $25 a year per person, $35 a year per couple. And if you do it today, we'll give you the DVD by David Gibbs. If you mail it in, there's a place where to mail it in, and you can see that. So just fill out the form, mail it in, and then every year, the anniversary of your membership, you'll get a notice from Baptist for Life of Wisconsin. Pray for volunteers and financial support at the centers. It's a long distance, but maybe you can to volunteer to one of the centers. Although I know one girl, one lady, who was a young widow. She had three children. The oldest was about 12. The youngest was about 2. And she drove 1.5-3/4 hours one way, almost 2 hours one way, to minister to the Assurance Center in Appleton. So she did that once a month, and obviously not everybody could do that, but I'm just sharing that with you as a challenge. One out of every three babies in our country are aborted. One out of every three. I'm going to share with you from Ephesians 5 in a minute, because I'm going to another area that's kind of touchy. About 4 out of 10 babies are born to an unwed mother. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, and we look at unwed mothers, and let me tell you something. Children need a mommy and a daddy. My father went to heaven when I was 10 years old. And I remember crying as a teenage boy because I didn't have a daddy to love me. Yes, I had a godly mom. I had some uncles that influenced me. But that's not the same as a daddy. And yet, it's too much of our culture. And what are we going to do? We could say, oh, that's awful. Let me ask you this. I don't know your people, and I'm not going to. But what do you do as a church if a girl came in with two children, unmarried, never been married, with two children, expecting number three? How would you respond? How would you respond? Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians. Verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and had given himself as an offering and a sacrifice unto God for sweet-smelling savor. Friends, we're to love them as much as we can love that girl. We need to go out of our way to minister to her in any way that we can minister without compromising truth. And maybe she just needs some great grandpa to put his arm around her and say, we love you. You notice I said great grandpa. I didn't just say to anybody. No, listen. She needs us. She needs us desperately. I want you to look at verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. For the sake of time, let me just tell you this. That unwed girl, unless it was through rape, obviously, became pregnant because of fornication. I want you to look at the rest of the verse. On fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness. In other words, somebody coveted something they had no right to. Fornication. All through Scripture, it seems like fornication and covetousness are mentioned in the same context. Adultery. Because somebody coveted something they had no right to, and we have an unplanned baby. What can we do? Do we have the attitude? Do we have the attentiveness? And do we have the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ reaching out to those people that are in need of the gospel? This baby was just not part of my plans. But God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, Jeremiah 29:11. Ask yourself, what if these aborted babies were adults? What if a senator was protected by law to kill unwanted children, teens, and adults? What if a senator was protected by law to kill Christians? You say, not in America? Have you read your history of Hitler's Germany, of Stalin's Russia? We could go on. Would we become involved? To remain silent is to permit a serious confusion regarding the fundamental truth of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 24:14 and 53. God hates the shedding of innocent blood, Proverbs 6:16 and 17. Real quickly, I'm going to give you a couple things real quickly. How do we respond? How do you need, in our present world, we must have the courage based upon the Word of God. People in the Bible who responded with courage. Let me suggest to you David. When he met Goliath, he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you with the power of the Word of God. Who are you to defile the armies of the living God? Who are they? Esther, put on the throne. Possibly her whole country of Jew, the whole Jewish nation, was under attack. Naaman says, hasn't God placed you there for this hour, for this occasion? And she says, if I perish, I perish. I better go see the king. And she did, to save a nation. Our compassion must be based upon the Word of God. Jesus in John chapter 4 saw the woman at the well. Unmarried with 7 husbands. And he goes to see her by herself, risked his reputation to talk to her. Not criticize her, not condemn her, but with the love and the compassion of herself, made her need, and she went back to her city and created a revival. In Luke chapter 7, the widow at Nain, her son was being carried on a bier through the city. She was there weeping. And Jesus came and ministered to her, ministered to the boy, brought him back to life, and brought him to his mother. Because he was moved with compassion upon them. I'm going to close with an illustration, a true one. A lady came into one of the pregnancy care centers, not one of ours, but came into a pregnancy care center. And she was a pro-choice vocal person. Stood about 6'4", wanted a pregnancy test, but she came in basically to charge the counselor how wrong the pro-life movement is. She came in and sat, or stood rather, in front of the client. The client's about 5'2". The counselor's about 5'2", and the client's about 6'2". And she rattled and attacked that counselor for over a half an hour. Verbally, brutally, not physically, but viciously. The counselor just sat there and looked at her and smiled. They get ready to leave. The client gets ready to leave. The counselor says, "I want to hug you." And before the client could respond, she got up and put her arms around the client. I suppose look at it like that. The client broke down and wept. Said, "I've been waiting and looking for somebody to love me. Does somebody care?" And that counselor understood what it meant to have the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. That girl kept her baby, was gloriously saved and discipled and assimilated into a local Baptist church. We could tell other stories like that too. What can you do? Share the gospel wherever you are. Speak up the truth about pro-life issues. Pray. Pray for the directors of the centers. Know them by name. Pray for the clients who come into the centers. Become a member of Baptist for Life in Wisconsin. Hold a baby shower for one of the centers. Maybe you are a ways away, but hold a baby shower, and all those items you don't know what to do with, send them off. Organize a walk for life or bike for life. Volunteer to serve as a center. See your pastor about the LIFT program. Write letters to the editor. And I might encourage you, you know what's going on in the state of Wisconsin. 2 weeks is a pro-life Sunday, January the 22nd. Why not write a letter to your legislator and explain your opposition or your position on pro-life issues and encourage him? But they need to hear from us. You can email it or a regular letter. If you do a regular letter, send a gospel tract with them and see what happens. You've been a wonderful crowd, a good group of people. Let's pray that we be as attentive and have the attitude and the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ as we go out into a world that's in desperate need of the glorious gospel. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Father, that you came to save sinners. And Father, we're with the Apostle Paul. We are chief. Father, we know it hurts your heart with what is being going on in our country, and it hurts us. Father, may we have the grace and the motive and the purpose to share the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there be one here this morning that has never come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we pray that they'll seek the pastor out or somebody else and seek them out, and Father, to find out what they need to do to become a child of God for the glory of God. Thank you, Father, for these people. Bless them richly. Use them as a testimony up here in this part of the state for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.